Well, it's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and this is news that you can use from Car Edge with your dear friends, Ray and Zach. And I must say, I don't think my condo's ever looked better.
No, it's looking good, Dad. All right, it is the last day of the month, and here's the deal. We're going to kick today's show off with talking about why. I didn't even go for the secret reasons, the untold truth, why the end of the month is the best time to buy a car. And before we get into that,
yes,
justice is right. The spoiler alert, the best time to buy a car is December 26, 2019. So if you missed it, you missed it.
Oh, gosh. I might have been there for that.
All right. So here's the deal. It is the end of the month. Today's the end of May. A lot of folks are buying cars. We're actually going to spend a significant amount of time just talking about some of the success stories over in the Car Edge community forum, because there are a lot of them. Our team helped over 180 people yesterday individually on car deals, and we are seeing softening in the market. So ability to negotiate. We can do a little bit of talking about just why end of month, end of quarter, end of year is so important. So you'll kick us off there, Dad. After that, we'll do some of the deals that we're seeing here at the end of May. And I want to put you on the spot, and I want to ask you your two times this year that you think from now until the end of the year are going to be the best times to buy a car. So we'll start there. A few news stories, some fun, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, maybe a pillowcase.
No pillowcases.
All right, Dad, why is the end of the month the best time to buy a car?
Because every month the salespeople have sales goals and quotas they're trying to reach. Dealerships have sales goals and quotas they're trying to reach. And manufacturers set these sales goals and quotas. And well, oftentimes the allocations that the dealers get are based on hitting or surpassing these sales goals. And in some cases, and I would think in particular in some of your Stellantis branded stores, that there are probably factory to dealer incentives for hitting certain volume levels so that, well, you know, the last day to hit those levels is today.
You were a new car manager for a long time.
I believe I was, yes.
Decades.
Yeah.
The allocation system means that you're going to earn more cars the more you turn.
Yes, it's what's known as a turn and earn system. The quicker you turn them, the more you earn them, the replacements for them. So it's completely turn and earn. And if there's volume objectives from the factory, from your factory rep for that month, and you hit or surpass those, oftentimes you will not only receive your cash rewards for having hit the objectives set by the manufacturer, but many times you can earn additional hot vehicles that you need for your lot.
All right, so if I'm a general manager of a CDJR dealership right now, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Jeep dealership right now.
Yes.
And I'm sitting on inventory.
Yes.
Am I not going to my sales manager, you, and saying, sell them, get rid of them? Because you know what? As the general manager, I get paid off of gross of the whole dealership.
Whole store.
I'm going to get the finance back end of that. So I'm going to try and sell extended warranties. I'm going to try and sell finance products, gap insurance. And I'm going to get my hands on hot inventory next month. There is pressure on dealership operators now that there was that was not there months ago because inventory is starting to build back up. End of month, end of quarter, end of year mean more in 2023 now than they did a year ago, 2 years ago, three years ago.
And they mean more to the general manager because a general manager looks at it not just
pressure.
Not just as what are we doing on the new or used car side of things, but he's thinking about the number of new prospective service and parts customers he's creating every month. So there is a tremendous motivation the last week of the month, the last day of the month, to hit those sales goals, those quotas. If you're a salesperson, for example, and there's a volume bonus that there's a 5% kicker in your commissions earned, or a $1,000 extra volume bonus if you hit 12 cars or 14 cars and you're sitting at 11, well, how, you know, do you want to go home and still be at 11? Or did you want to hit 12 and get that volume bonus? How hard are you willing to work your sales manager and your customer in order to accomplish that? So everybody has a reason for making a car deal at the end of the month. When I manage dealerships, I try to instill the concept in everybody's mind that every day was the last day of the month. We should treat every day. The first day of the month should be no different than the last day of the month as far as our efforts were concerned to make a car deal. If we were going to be very aggressive to make a car deal at the end of the month, there was no reason that we shouldn't be equally as aggressive on the first day of the month. So some dealerships try and create this concept that every day is the last day of the month. But, you know, obviously it's not, and people relax. And typically the second half of a month at most dealerships, you almost double what you did in the first half of the month. Because all of a sudden everybody's thinking, man, I don't have anything made for the month yet. I'm working for next to nothing. I need to sell some cars.
Yep.
So that's what happens.
We've got from Igor in the chat, Pops, volume bonuses are back in place now, but not all OEMs have rolled them out. Chrysler and Jeep and Ram had it now, and they are back to turn and earn allocation system. And let's be clear, these bonuses, these performance bonuses that get paid out, you know, during the year, they're non-trivial. I mean, they fall to the bottom line, and they are non-trivial, hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the brand. So this is something that if you're an operator, you think a lot about, and you incentivize your staff to think a lot about them.
Yes.
And that's why you end up making the deal at the end of the month or the end of the quarter, or particularly at the end of the year. Let's look for a second, Dad. I want to pull up on the screen. What brands are we seeing the success stories in the community forum here? Because there are different car markets right now.
Yes.
Nissan.
Yes.
Nissan, Ram, Mazda, Ford, Mazda. Look at that, Dad. This list, there's, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first six.
Yes.
There was a win on insurance, by the way. If you need to get auto insurance or home or renters, caredge.com/insurance. Work with our agents, save some money. But these six, Dad, I'm not seeing a Toyota win. I'm not seeing a Kia win. I'm not seeing a Hyundai win. Nissan's got more inventory and more negotiability.
Yes.
Ram, obviously. Yes. Mazda prices have been great. I had someone complaining to me yesterday on TikTok, Dad. You've said car prices are going to come down, but Toyota RAV4 Primes haven't. I'm like, go look at a Mazda.
Yeah, you know when we make a blanket statement that prices are going to go down, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, doesn't mean every damn car. I mean, you know, if you're looking at a specific car with a specific trim that is in extremely short supply, remember that the first law of economics is the law of supply and demand. And when supply is low and demand is high, the prices are going to be high. So do yourself a favor and go find a comparable brand with more supply and a little less demand, and you'll be able to save money. But if it's got to be a RAV4 Prime, you're stuck. It's just that simple.
So we are seeing those success stories, but they're not everywhere. I'm going to pull up another one on the screen. Give me 1 second, because it's worth showing. Because some brands, Dad, for example, we're going to look at a Subaru here in just a quick second. Subaru doesn't have a ton of availability.
Yes.
That being said, you can still get non-trivial discounts on Subarus. Bear with me, folks, and I'll show you this here in just a second.
Look at you choose that.
Ready? Here we go. Boom. It's right above our heads. This is a 2023 Subaru Outback.
Yes.
Brand new.
Autumn green.
$3,000 discount, Dad.
Yes.
$3,000 discount on a Subaru. So it's not only that it's like vehicles that are in demand versus non-demand. Timing. So end of month, great time to be working a car deal.
Yes.
The other piece is finding a good dealership. We help out with that. And then specific brands, you got better options. Subaru dealers have been more negotiable. Mazda dealers more negotiable than a comparable Toyota, Kia, Hyundai deal.
There, I forget the name of the gentleman that does the show on NPR, This American Life or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And they did a segment years ago. I want to say maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago, on the last day at a, I think it was a Chrysler dealership or a Dodge dealership, and what the salespeople and the sales managers go through in an effort to hit their objectives. So I don't know if you can look it up from This American Life about the end of month at a car dealership, but it is an awesome episode that everyone should listen to, because there is truth to that. There are objectives that need to be hit. If I'll never forget when I was at our BMW store, and I was talking to one of our sales managers, and he said, "Oh yeah, yeah, the owner was upset with me." He said, "Why would you lose $2,500 front end gross profit on the car you sold?" And Manny's response was, well, it was pretty simple. That netted us a $200,000 check from BMW for hitting their objective for the month. So if you can turn a $2,500 loss into a $200,000 gain, I'm pretty sure most managers would do that. And most owners would be okay with that. And those are the type of things that can happen on the last day of the month. You know, and it's not as common today as it had been because of all the new car shortages over the last 2 or 3 years. But as Igor suggested, at a lot of your Stellantis stores, that's coming back. At some other stores, those type of things are coming back. So that there are ways for dealerships to pick up extra money from their factory representative, their brand, from them directly. And it's not money you have to wait for. I mean, you know, typically the factory is good pay.
Yeah, their check's clear. All right, I want to pull up.
They don't even send you a check. They just make an automatic deposit.
The ACH is even better. Yeah. All right, I want to pull up a couple comments here. One from Max Dad. "Hey guys, I just got a deal on a Hyundai. Boom, beautiful. There it is. Let's read more. Negotiations stalled, and then after the vehicle went unsold over Memorial Day, all of a sudden they came back to the table. End of the month. Yes. I did, Susanna. I got a Santa Cruz SEL at $700 off of MSRP with no add-ons or really any flack at all." You go. Because we were
timing.
We were talking to Mario on our team, one of our car coaches.
Yes.
And he was mentioning we were actually seeing some Toyota negotiability just on internal combustion engine versions, not hybrid powertrains. So, you know what? It is there across the board. Some of the regionality is also going to play a role.
Yes. Yes.
As well. I dropped the link in the chat. Car Edge Coach.
Yes.
Probably the best deal in the face of humanity. If you are buying a car, work with our team.
Yes.
20% off ends today because we're no better than the dealerships when it comes to promotions that end at the end of the month.
And incentives.
And it does end at the end of the month. So 20% off, you can work with Ashley, you can work with Phil, you can work with Justice, you can work with Mario, you're working with Jerry. We've actually just started hiring for a few more car coaches, so I can't wait for Hunter to start.
Yes.
We got a few more folks joining us here soon. The car coaches are there to help. So we are here. We got our fingers on the pulse. They did 110 car deals yesterday.
That's pretty good. That's a big day.
That's a big day, man. 110 car deals in one day that they... All right. I asked you at the beginning, or I told you at the beginning, we were going to start with why end of month. You helped explain that. We hit on a few of the different types of vehicles that we're seeing some more negotiability here. Yes. Now let's talk about it, Dad. You got two times to buy a car between now and the end of the year. What are you going to choose? Give the folks some options. When do you think is the best time to be buying a car between now and the end of the year?
Two options. Typically, you should be able to find some good deals around Labor Day.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is the next year, the 2024s are starting to arrive at dealerships, and the manufacturers are typically underwriting or incentivizing the sale of those vehicles. And you will see a lot of manufacturer advertising around the Labor Day weekend with the Labor Day weekend sales with some special incentives. And then the best time, the absolute best time to buy a car, the last week of the year, from the day after Christmas through New Year's Day. That is when the manufacturers have their biggest and strongest incentives, both for customers and for dealerships. That's when they're the most aggressive. That's when Both dealerships and manufacturers are trying to hit their annual goals that they had set for themselves, and they will spend whatever it takes to do that. Salespeople are trying to hit their sales goals for the year, sales managers. So everybody from December 26th through typically January 1st or January 3rd, depending on the when everything falls, day-wise.
Yep.
That's when everybody's the most aggressive. It just is. And typically what happens is you bring enough customers in that would have been January deals. You bring them in into December. So January tends to be very, very slow in comparison to December. And the salespeople and the sales managers all need that income to carry them through this, to carry them through January and February, the two slowest months of the year.
All right. So you heard it here. You said which holiday?
Labor Day.
Labor Day and Christmas time, end of year.
Yes.
I'm going to go for end of June and end of year to Christmas time. I think end of next month, end of quarter. I got a spidey sense. I'm team justice on that one, but I bet you you're onto something with Labor Day as well.
Pretty sure I might be.
You've done this once or twice. Yeah. All right, let's put this to the test real quick. We've got Tom saying Ford has no new cars.
Well, are you talking cars or are you talking product? If you're talking cars, maybe they have very few cars.
We're about to check.
Probably have a lot of damn trucks.
Let's hang tight. All right, caredge.com. Yeah. I went to the car search.
Yes.
We updated the little autocomplete up here. Now it's the drop down. I think it's a little easier. Ford Fusion. Let's do a Fusion. Do they still even make the Fusion?
I don't know.
Do they make the Fusion? Let me see. New? No.
No. Pick something they make.
What do they make? That's a car. Focus?
I don't think so.
Do they still make the Focus? What's a new Ford car?
I don't think they make a lot of cars.
I don't think they make a lot of cars.
An Escape?
An Escape? No. An Edge? All right. We'll try the Escape. Let's try new. All right, so they do make, holy cow, these are 2022s that have just been sitting around.
Yeah, and your point? Ford's.
All right, let's see if Ford has any new Escapes. I'm looking here. 69 days supply of Escapes. Yeah. And where are we? We're in New Hampshire.
Okay.
69 days. Let's check one other thing. I'm going to resources. I'm going to the Data Explorer. We'll do 2022s because this is currently used inventory. Ford. And let's try it. We'll do the F-150. Let's see what's going on with the F-150. We got some errors coming up, but there's some market day supply. Ford's got inventory.
Yeah.
I don't think the blanket statement of Ford doesn't have inventory is accurate there. Most of the automakers have inventory now. All right. Shall we switch gears?
It's your show, buddy. I'm just the pretty face.
Here we go. Igor's backing me up here.
Yeah.
Zach, entire June is a nice month to buy. Don't wait till the end of the June, but start shopping in the beginning of June so you can close your deal towards the end of June. June is a slower month.
Well, it's the first month when kids are done school and people start vacationing.
Yeah. Oh, Justice is right. We had like the Mach-E. That's one that we could have. Looked at. All right, we're going to switch gears.
Okay.
First, we're going to come to Richard's comment, which is just saw on YouTube how Kia dealers in South Florida are charging $2,000 in fees to buy out leases. Yeah, if you haven't watched our video back on the Car Edge channel with
Joshua Fagan.
We got one with Joshua Fagan, who is sueyourdealer.com.
Yeah.
Great brand. Well, very polarizing brand.
It's sad that you have to have, but
he's a consumer protection attorney in the state of Florida. We interviewed him because he's caught up in a lot of this. And Jeff Wines here, from the ABC affiliate down there in Miami. Yeah, Florida is the wild, wild west, and folks get hurt.
And what those dealers are doing is absolutely illegal.
And we'll probably do another video on it soon. Now, Dad, when I saw that video, because it was the ABC affiliate put it back out and they're doing some more press around it, which is good. It needs to get more attention. I saw this article in Jalopnik and wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah.
Car dealers see EVs as a threat to their immense power and they're getting angry. The fear and loathing was thick among some of the most wealthy Americans at the 2023 National Automobile Dealers Association show. So essentially what happened here, Dad, is we have a reporter, Alexander Salmon from Slate, bought a ticket to NADA.
Okay.
Took a pulse of the room, walked around, and found out that dealers are frustrated with the push to EV. I found this to be fascinating, Dad, especially because Jim Farley and Ford, they're the folks that have been really pushing, saying, hey, EVs are going to be different, direct to consumer. Reading a headline like that, looking at those lease buyout fees, did this not give you even more frustration or energy towards the idea of like the dealership model has to change and evolve a little bit? Not go away, but evolve a little bit?
Well, I think we've been saying that for a long time, but I don't think it'll, I don't want to just throw out a blanket statement and say, I don't think it'll ever go away because, well, ever is a long time. Okay. I think it has to evolve. And I think it will evolve. I really do. but I understand dealers' frustrations because they know that the investment that they're being asked to make in being able to sell EVs is rather stiff. It's rather expensive. It's not a wee little bit of an investment. It can run into the millions of dollars. They also know at the moment that the profit margins built into these vehicles is very limited in comparison to their internal combustion engine vehicles. And they are well aware of the fact that their service business is going to go to hell when EVs take over the share, the bulk of the new vehicle market. Because
that's what they're most afraid of.
Well, of course, because these vehicles don't require nearly as much maintenance and repair as internal combustion engine vehicles. So if you're a dealer and you're being asked to spend $1.5 million to add chargers, and you're being told that you're only going to get X number of EVs to sell, and that the profit margin in those EVs is going to be significantly lower than the internal combustion engine vehicles, and then those EVs in the future are going to generate significantly less service business and profit in the future, you have to be saying to yourself, why would I want to do that? Because it's like everything else. What's in it for me? You know, the owner of the dealership's got to be going, what's in it for me?
Yep.
You know, I already have tens of millions of dollars invested in property and a facility to take care of customers, to display vehicles, to service vehicles. And you're telling me that my profit margin is going to go down because what I'm going to be selling in the future isn't going to generate service business.
That's why they're selling subscriptions. And this creates even more friction. So you have a relationship between dealers and the OEMs that's not particularly happy and healthy. And now you have the OEMs trying to sell subscriptions on top of cars, dealers getting frustrated with this push. I would love, we're not at NADA this year, but maybe next year. Maybe next year we'll go to NADA. We probably might get, hopefully we'll have some fans there. We won't get booed out entirely. There are some good dealers out there.
Yes.
We're working on the Car Edge Trusted Dealer Network. You know, so it would just be interesting to think about that, Dad. Like these subscriptions go to the OEM, but the dealer's going to try and stick their hand in there.
Well, of course they are.
But why, if I'm the OEM, would I want the dealer sticking their hand in there? It's
because
the evolution in the industry is.
And the only reason that the manufacturers would share some of the profit from subscriptions with the dealers is to keep the dealers interested in selling the vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and if I'm a manufacturer, I'm saying to the dealers, the two of us need to figure out how to get the sales staff on board to help push the subscriptions. So we will incentivize the salespeople for pushing the subscriptions and getting people to buy subscriptions.
Yep.
Because that's got to compensate for the lack of service that you're going to have going forward. If you're taking away a dealership's profit center, And you are.
Yep, absolutely.
You have to figure out another way to create that profit. So if Ford can sell billions upon billions upon billions of dollars worth of subscription services, they're going to have to compensate their dealers. Their dealers are going to have to get a percentage of that.
Or dealerships will just
go away.
Yeah, well, we're not going to have that conversation today. We're going to help Juan out real quick and then switch gears. Is Gap required and can I cancel it? No, Gap is not required. Yes, you can cancel it. When is it a good idea to get Gap insurance, guaranteed asset protection? It is a good idea to get Gap waiver or Gap insurance if you're not putting a lot of money down and your vehicle's kind of underwater. You owe more on it than it's worth. When you're in a situation like that, that's when Gap can make sense.
And here's what you have to realize, that fees today, registration fees, sales taxes, things like that, typically add about 10% to the cost of the vehicle. So if you are paying somewhere near MSRP, and then you have 10% of fees, so realistically, you're at 10% over MSRP, and you're putting only 10% down, then you're financing around MSRP. And typically, cars depreciate. In the past, it was 20 to 25% in the first year. Today, it's probably less than that. But even if it depreciates 10%, the minute you drive off the lot, you are underwater. So if you're not putting 20 to 25% down on the vehicle you're buying and you're financing the rest, then you should get Gap insurance. Because if something were to happen to that vehicle and it gets totaled, the balance you owe doesn't go away when the car gets totaled. Your insurance company is only going to pay what the car is worth. And if the car is worth 10 or 15% less than what you still owe on it, guess what? You still have to pay that 10 to 15% that's still owed. And, you know, obviously, you didn't have that money up front. So the Gap insurance would make that up for you, and it would make sense.
All right, I just dropped the link in the chat, and I will pull it up right here. What is Gap insurance, and do I need it? All you got to do to get to this page as quickly as possible is Google search CarEdge,
yes,
Gap insurance. And it is a great article that'll walk you through everything you need to know about Gap insurance, everything that you just said, and then some. So please, please, please take some time and look at that resource, because I see there are other questions about Gap coming in as well. Now, Dad, I want to turn our attention here, and I put the link right there below, caredge.com/report. If you have not run and shared your feedback with us about the CarEdge report, we need you to, because Andres has the question, how many days does a car need to sit on a lot in order to have max negotiability power? Why am I talking about the CarEdge report? Because if you run a CarEdge report, it'll start to give you the information you need to understand that. So you go to caredge.com/report. This is free for a limited amount of time. I ran one recently for a 2020 Honda Pilot. Let's pull that up. What's nice about the CarEdge report is it will show me not only how this vehicle compares to other similar vehicles actively for sale, other similar vehicles that sold in the prior 30 days. And what I want to jump here to is days on market. This vehicle has been on the dealer's lot for 4 days. The local average is 38 days. The demand for this vehicle is high in this state. These are the pieces of information that you can use, Andres, to help inform when do you have max negotiability power. You also get on here, if I scroll on down, the market day supply is 91, total for sales 47, 38 have sold in the past 45 days. All that information is used to help infer for every vehicle, because every vehicle is different.
Yes.
It's not, hey, a car hits 90 days, it's max negotiable now. For a Ram 1500, it might be 290 days.
Well, and we're talking about used cars here.
Well, used and new cars. This report works for used and new cars. Oh, okay. So I encourage you to run it for both. And then, of course, we have our car coaches who can help you make sense of all this. You got Mario right over there on our team that you can work with when you run these reports. And again, that's 20% off between now and the end of the month.
Wow.
Which is today.
Yes. Between now and the tomorrow. End of today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, all there right. you have it.
You have another show.
Yes, which I have to get set up for, which requires a different microphone and different setup altogether.
So I'm going to get busy working on that. Thank you, my guy, Kirby. Very impressive information now available on Cards. We got a lot of great stuff in the pipeline. Very proud of the team. Very, very, very proud of the team. We're going to do better on the community forum as well, sharing these updates, try and get in like a monthly cadence of a roundup. Mm-hmm. Here are the updates. But let me stop talking about that. Let me get you set up.
Okay.
We'll be back at midnight in Manila tomorrow.
Yes, yes, because we have heard, I have heard through the grapevine, I think it's called social media, that there's a surge of excitement about midnight in Manila with the guys from Car Edge.
If you're not following on TikTok and Instagram, now that I'm here with my dad for the summer, we're going to do TikTok takeovers. TikTok takeovers.
Say that three times.
And Instagram takeovers and things like that. So more dad content coming at you.
Yeah.
Especially because he recovered very quickly from...
Chicken soup, ladies and gentlemen.
Anything exciting this Saturday on the Car Edge channel? Are we doing something on... We're doing a show.
Are they doing it or are we doing
Justice,
it?
Justice, are you doing the show?
Is that this week?
I know we had talked about it. I kind of forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll business speak right here. We'll circle back on that, Justice.
I
love it. If you're doing the show this Saturday, I would love to tune in. Yes.
See, you don't even know what's going on in your own damn company.
No, very busy right now. Again, the team worked well over 100 car deals yesterday. Incredible, Justice.
Yes.
All right. We are signing off. Thank you for being here. And
Justice, I'll see you in about 10 minutes.
Car Edge Electric. Check it out. See you guys.
See everybody.